4035, and open the public hearing on House Bill 4036, Improvement Fund. Do we have staff?
Where's it go back in?
Available? The, anyone wish to testify on House Bill 4036, School Improvement Fund? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 4036, and open the work session on House Bill 4036, the School Improvement Fund.
Mr. Chair, Members, Steve Meyer, the School Improvement Fund bill that you have before you is a repeat of what you did in the first special session. What it does is to allow school districts to use their school improvement fund monies for any purpose related to education, rather than some of the restrictions that were part of the original act. And it also repeals the section that would require the funds in the 01, 03, and 0305 biennium to be used to improve third and fifth grade reading and math scores. And then, so the program would be maintained with those beginning in 03, 05. There would still be the School Improvement Fund. So this is, these are temporary changes for the use of those funds by the school districts.
Thank you, Steve.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Shetterly.
Move House Bill 4036 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Shetterly has moved House Bill 4036 to the floor, House of Representatives with due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, House Bill 4036 is moved to the floor of the House of Representatives with a due pass recommendation. So ordered. Representative Morgan will carry this one. Okay, we're going to skip over the next one, House Bill 5081, and we will open a public hearing.
We need, 4033 has amendments coming, and we'll have to get those tomorrow.
4033?
43 has amendments, yeah, technical amendments.
So, should we?
Susan's carrying the common school fund.
Susan's carrying common school fund. You want to catch that on the Senate side?
Let's do it here. They've got them, they're working them up. We're not going to get these to the floor tonight anyway.
Right. Okay. So we will also skip House Bill 4033. We will open a public hearing on House Bill 4031. Here comes Mr. Warner. Is there anyone who'd like to testify on House Bill 4031? Seeing none, we will close the works, or the public hearing on House Bill 4031, and open the work session on House Bill 4031. Dr. Warner.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 4031 is the ballot title that spells out the procedures for a May 2002 ballot measure, which is the one you hear next, HJR 75.
Are there any?
Man, a few words. What's that like, Paul? Paul, you okay? I'm ready to move this puppy.
Well, I'm waiting for a motion.
Mr. Chair.
You're slowing me down. I want Schrader to make this.
I got it.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 4031 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation, sir.
Now I know why I asked Representative Shetterly to make all those amendments. I can't do it with some passion, enthusiasm. It's monotone.
Wow, I really want to do this, sir.
Representative Schrader has moved House Bill 4031 for the House of Representatives with due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Shetterly, would you do us the honor?
I'd be pleased to.
We will close the work session on House Bill 4031, and open a public hearing on HJR 75. Anyone in attendance wish to testify on HJR 75? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing on HJR 75, and open the work session on HJR 75. Dr. Warner.
Mr. Chair, distributing the revenue impact statement for HJR 75. This measure would go on the May ballot, May of 2002. It requires rescinding SJR 50, which was passed in the special session. It revises the Oregon Constitution, and it converts the Education Endowment Fund into an Education Stability Fund. It dedicates 15% of lottery earnings to the fund. We estimate that lottery earnings in this biennium will be about $106 million from the 15% dedication. It establishes triggers for the fund. If the legislature three-fifths vote and there's a finding that general fund revenue forecast projects that revenue in the next biennium will be 3% less than appropriation in the current biennium, or non-farm payroll employment declines for two consecutive quarters, or general fund revenue forecast is 2% less than the forecast used for the legislative adopted budget, any of those triggers and a three-fifths vote would allow use of the fund, access to the fund. It can also be accessed
for the state representative
with a three-fifths vote in each chamber and a declaration of an emergency by the governor. The fund itself, the stability fund, becomes operational on April 30th. On May 1st of 2003, there's a transfer of $200 million from the fund to the state school fund. We estimate that following the $200 million transfer and $106 million dedication going in this biennium, that the fund balance on July 1, 2003 would be about $78 million.
Thank you, Paul. Any discussion? Representative Lee.
Mr. Chair, I'm concerned about the amount, the $200 million that that can be discussed further on the floor. I'm willing to move this through the committee to take it to the floor for that discussion.
Is that a motion, Representative Lee?
Yes, that is, sir.
Representative Lee has, you can get some color graphics to show how that thing grows. Representative Lee has moved HJR 75 to the floor of the House of Representatives with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Shetterly.
I think what Paul has passed out to us is a bar chart that I asked him to prepare that assumes the passage of HJR 75 by this assembly and by the voters, and then the appropriation of the transfer from that stability fund of $200 million in this biennium, and then carries out the stability fund and what we could expect to see within a range over the next 10 years. If you look at that, it starts at about a $78 million balance. I think that was what we got from Paul on the new revenue impact statement. And then the blue chart, the blue graphs represent the figures with earnings reinvested into the stability fund at 7.33%. That's an odd number, but it's the number that is pegged to the anticipated earnings, blended earnings in the common school fund over the next 5 years. This fund is capable of being invested in equities as the common school fund is, and so I asked Paul just to project the growth with that 7.33% with all earnings reinvested. The yellow bars represent the growth of the fund if all we get in it is the lottery payments and no earnings are reinvested. Continue to spend all of the earnings then on existing bonds and scholarships and decide not to reinvest any of the earnings in the stability fund. And so what we see then is a spread of just over $900 million in 10 years on the high side to just over $600 million on the shy side. So I think what this represents is substantial growth in this, anticipating that the timing of our next recession will be will follow historic trends and be out about 10 years. That gives us an idea of what we could expect to see in that fund when the next downturn comes. It's pretty impressive.
Yes.
Were you talking the whole time I was out in the hall?
It was
non-stop.
That excited monotone.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, one thing else I'll say, this is substantially the same as HJR 50, except it is in the form of a revision and not an amendment. It will require 40 votes on the floor.
Representative Schrader.
Two questions. Some of this I like. I have a somewhat reservation about the total amount of money that we're using out of here, but still will be moving this forward. But two questions just for clarification. One is the investment language that Representative Shirley alluded to. I think that's critical to the better utilization of this fund. The graphs are very dramatic. And it begs the question, though, if indeed legally they've been able to do this all along, why have they not done so? And don't we need to have some statutory clarification to just make sure that in the future this is followed?
Sure. Kay Richardson in the Treasurer's Office just happens to be in the back room, could probably answer that if you want to get an answer.
Do we get to beat her up for not doing it for
Richardson.
5 years?
Enter and sign in, please. I have always wanted this opportunity. Well, yeah. Yeah, probably would.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
That's what I was hoping.
For the record, Kate Richardson, Oregon State Treasury, and I'm sorry, but I don't think I caught the entire question. But
not paying attention?
Oh.
Give me any answers. I just wandered in the door.
Are you okay?
I am. Oh, I'm much better. Thank you.
Could you restate the question?
The question was, it's been stated, and
I wasn't paying attention either.
I had a conversation with Representative Shirley last week or so about the ability to invest the endowment fund in equities, and it hasn't been done, as I understand, at least not to the degree we've done with the Common School Fund, and the concern we had, particularly in not pushing my vote anyway, not going this way last special session, was I wanted to make sure that we had language written in so that we would be able to invest some of these earnings in equities, appropriate and prudent amount in equities, and gain some benefit. And so then I was in discussions with the representative, who said, well, geez, we're already able to do that. I guess I'm a little concerned, if that's true, why haven't we been doing it? And it's oftentimes, even though it's been okay to do, sometimes a certain department, whether it's treasury or so on, needs a little direction to feel more comfortable doing that. And I guess I wanted to know that, why hadn't it been done, and wouldn't it be better if we gave you a little direction that, yes, you can do it?
Mr. Chair, Representative Schrader, I really can't speak to the historical decisions that have gone into the investment policy, but it's true that the Constitution, or we're not subject for that fund to the constitutional prohibition against that. So that is true. I believe, and I can get the answer for you if you want to have someone come and talk to you about what the investment decisions were made. But I think that there's because the OGA is part of the Education Endowment Fund, I think there's sort of a weighing going on in there. And it's also a fund that's been building up over time, too. So there may have been some decisions there. I can't speak to what the specific investment policy decisions were made. But right now, the bulk of it is sitting in our short-term fund.
I guess, Mr. Chair, to help really, I mean, I'll certainly be voting for this, but I think on the Senate side or whatever, this needs to be addressed. I am not comfortable that we're giving enough direction for the department to feel comfortable in doing this. I mean, what we have is a change in administration here, and one outfit saying is a little more aggressive and a little more thoughtful or whatever you want to, however you want to phrase it, and going after this. And it hasn't been done. The fact of the matter is it has not been done for the last 6-8 years since this fund's been in existence. So to the extent that the legislature can give direction in this bill and in the statute that using some prudent, you know, investment language, I think we ought to do that. There's an opportunity here that doesn't hurt anything.
Mr. Chair, Representative Schroeder, if I could add to that, it might be helpful in that discussion to have someone from investments come to talk to you about what the decisions have been regarding that and to maybe explain why it is where it is better than I could at this point.
Can you set that up for me, Kate? Ms. Richardson, excuse me.
If I know where to tell someone to go at a certain time.
So I don't know where to go. No. yes. I will check with you.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Any other questions for Ms. Richardson?
Not so much a question, but I think part of this has been the fact that it's been there's not been much money in this fund to begin with now, until really this biennium. We're just getting into the big dollars, and the fact that Oregon Growth Account, OGA, is part of this thing. I think to the extent that you would consider that to be in the nature of an equity investment, I think it's been balanced against the short-term funds, which is why the rest of it has been in short terms. That's been the balancing. As this grows, I think we will probably see a greater spreading and balancing of the investments because there will be more money to do that with. If you want something explicit in the Constitution, I don't have any problem with that. I'm assured both from conversation with Treasury and from Legislative Council that the language is entirely sufficient to authorize investment in equities. I wouldn't want language in the Constitution that directs investment in equity. We want to give them the ability, but not necessarily the directive.
I agree.
Fair enough. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
Different question, different stuff. There's, in some conversations I've had, the legality of rescinding SGR 50 has come into question. I guess I'd like some clarification on our ability to do that.
Mr. Chair? I can relate the conversations I have had with legislative counsel. There is precedent for it. It has been done by this legislative assembly before in the same fashion as we are doing it here, where a resolution rescinds a prior resolution on the strength that if the legislature has the authority to send out a resolution to the ballot, then before that resolution makes it to the ballot, the same legislature has the authority to rescind that resolution before it goes. Legislative counsel has pointed out both the precedent and the fact that they think it's inherent in the powers of the legislature to both send out and to rescind resolutions. Cindy Hunt. No. Ted Rutlinger.
Okay. I'd like to know. I'm okay. I don't have any heartburn over doing this. I prefer this. I'm just trying to make sure I understand so I can articulate this to my colleagues and those around the building and to the voters. What's the mechanism by which we get it back under this scenario? Just by virtue of having passed this one, that would automatically do it. And then number two, what is the precedent? I'm not familiar with the precedent that we've done this before.
I'd refer you to Ted Rutlinger down in LC, who can give you the precedent. The mechanism is paragraph one of this. It simply declares that SJR 50 from the first special session is rescinded.
That does it.
That does it.
Secretary of State will pull it back then, or not put it out.
That's right.
Any other questions, Representative Frazier?
No, sir. Thank you.
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question of Dr. Warner. If we were to deplete the fund currently by $200 million, and then what would our projected balance be July 1st of 2003 based on that withdrawal and projected earnings?
We have updated the estimate from SJR 50, which was based on the December revenue forecast. Increase in lottery resources, a big portion of which was from the use of contingency fund of lottery, about $20 million, is captured in the March revenue forecast. And so we've reflected that, and that's added about $6 million to the projection for revenue dedicated to the fund. So we're estimating about $78 million on July 1, 2003, given a $200 million withdrawal on May 1st.
And follow up on that. We currently have about $112 million deficit in school funds, and if that goes to $312 million or thereabouts in the next biennium, then we won't really be able to address it with this fund again with that kind of a deficit. We'd still have to look for other potential.
That's correct. The forecast, and you can see how the fund would grow, and of course the chart that you're looking at is assuming you don't withdraw more from the fund. But you can see where it would be, and these are at the end of each of these fiscal years. And you can see, for example, in 2004-05, it's a little less than $200 million, assuming no withdrawals.
Thank you.
Another clarification, sir.
Representative Schrader.
Representative Lee got me to thinking a little bit. With the transfer of the $200 million or wherever we end up, $250 million of educational endowment fund to the state school fund, it's my understanding that the current service level roll-up for the state school fund would not be adversely affected by using this money as opposed to general fund money. Is that correct?
That's correct. The $200 million would replace current general fund money that's going into the state school fund. So the state school fund, under the budget bill that passed in the first special session, was not affected. It remained the same. The reason was we were transferring money from the stability fund to the state school fund, and then as we would project out the current service, we would project out that higher state school fund level.
Thank you.
You know, I think Representative Schrader raised a good legal question that perhaps we could flesh out a little bit. So the chair would like to invite anyone in the audience wearing a royal blue dress to the podium.
No, sweater.
Sweater? Is that a sweater? Close enough. Hey, for a guy, you know, it's pretty good.
From Central Oregon.
Yeah, from Culver.
Cindy Hunt, Legislative Counsel's Office. I was listening to a portion of the conversation, but I don't know if I heard all of Representative Schrader's questions about the rescinding of SGR 50.
Cindy, what it functionally was is what precedent have we established in prior biennium, and what is the legal mechanism by which it is technically recalled?
Okay.
Is that a fair assessment?
That's excellent. Yes.
Okay. The legislature's done this three times before, back in the 60s and 70s, where they rescinded a resolution that they sent to the people. And back then they successfully did it and then set forth another measure that was never challenged in court, so we don't know what the courts would say about it. We have an opinion out of the office from in the 60s and 70s that reasoned that the legislature could, in fact, do this, and it was based on, you know, sound legal reasoning. So if the committee would like that that opinion written in front of them, we could prepare that.
I'd be hopeful to get that to Representative
Okay.
Schrader.
Maybe so. The question would be, that's an attorney general's opinion. Is that correct?
No, it's from our office.
Okay.
It was written by Mr. Lundy in our office, who I don't know if you guys know who he is, but he was in the office since 1951 and still works in our office in a volunteer capacity.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And the mechanism, as Cheryl indicated, just by virtue of paragraph one, just the fact that we state it is enough to stop the Secretary of State from putting this on the ballot.
Representative Schrader, that's correct. In the prior, the three prior times that we did this, two of those times it was through rescinding it, another time it was a repeal. Mm-hmm. In our discussions in the office, we thought it was more appropriate to rescind it at this time because it was never really enacted, which would be more appropriate for a repeal. You should also understand if this measure does not pass the legislature, that SGR 50 is on the ballot mm-hmm. in May. And as soon as this measure passes the legislature, SGR 50 is off the ballot, even if this measure does not eventually be passed by the people.
Thank you.
Representative Federer.
Just one thing, Cindy. There was the companion elections bill, 5011, was that it? Whatever that was.
Something like that.
Do we need to do anything with
4011?
4011, was that okay? Do we need to do anything with that?
Representative Shetterly, are you referring to the companion elections bill from the first special session?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the special elections bill that I think this committee passed to the floor earlier, that repeals that special elections bill.
I remember that.
Yeah. So we've taken care of it. You've taken care of it efficiently already.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah, me too.
Does anyone else other than Representative Shetterly have any questions?
Oh, no more.
Thank you, Cindy.
We talked about this, didn't we?
Yeah.
Cindy, I did.
I think you've been, you know, intimately involved with this process, and to be commended, however. Does anyone feel like making a motion, Representative Federty?
Wait. Oh, yeah. No, that was, I would move House Joint Resolution 75 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Shetterly has moved HJR 75 to the floor of the House of Representatives with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. We will close the work session. Well, we'll appoint Representative Shetterly as carrier, and we will close the work session on HJR 75. And I think Representative Morgan has something she is absolutely desperate to say.
Mr. Chair, I move that we reconsider House Bill 4028.
Mm-hmm. Representative Morgan has moved we reconsider, recall and reconsider House Bill 4028. Any discussion? This is for purposes of some technical amendments, which if the representative from the Distilled Spirits Council was doing his job, we wouldn't have to do this, but the Any objections to recalling House Bill 4028? Seeing none, so ordered. We'll open the work session, reopen the work session on House Bill 4028. Hi, Susie.
Hello, Mr. Chair.
Tell me you've got them.
The amendments aren't typed, but they're on their way down. I can give you the concept for you to
consider.
And
okay.
It's a very minor change. In Section 3, it refers to repealing House Bill 4013 from the prior special session. Because that bill has not actually been signed into law, we want to change that and put the word if House Bill 4013 becomes law, then it is repealed.
Unbelievable. Well, we will...
Do you have a conceptual amendment for that?
Do we need an actual...
No, you don't. You can do it conceptually, and then we can just attach the actual amendment.
Do we have... So that would be the dash ones.
Yes.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Shetterly?
Do we need a suspension of the rules, I guess? Will we suspend the rules to allow conceptual amendment? I think... I don't know. How do you do that in... Ways and Means, I think we do that in the policy committees.
The chair can waive the rule requirement that amendments be received 2 hours prior to the work session.
That is exactly what I was going to say.
Then in that case, Mr. Chair, I would move the conceptual amendment to Section 3 of House Bill 4028 as expressed by staff to read that if House Bill 4013 becomes law, then those sections are repealed.
Representative Shetterly has proposed a conceptual amendment to House Bill 4028 stating that if a prior bill, House Bill 4013, becomes law, that it would, that House Bill 4028 would supersede and supplant it.
Sections 1 and Section 2.
In Sections 1 and Sections 2. Is that a fair category? Hi.
Oh, there they are.
Are you here for 4028?
Yes, I have. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I would withdraw my motion. We have the dash ones in front of us, so I'd...
Well, we have a motion on the table.
I'll withdraw that.
Any objection to withdrawing the motion? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendments to House Bill 4028.
Representative Shetterly has moved the draft for the dash one amendments to House Bill 4028. Any discussion? Any objections? House Bill 4028 is amended as stated in the dash ones. Representative Shetterly.
Move House Bill 4028 as amended by the dash ones to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Representative Shetterly has moved House Bill 4028 as amended by the dash ones to the floor of the House of Representatives with a due pass recommendation. Any objections? Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. We will close the work session on House Bill 4028 and open a public hearing. We're going back to the lottery bill on House Bill 5081. Anyone in attendance like to testify on House Bill 5081, the lottery funds allocation? Seeing no one, we will close the public hearing on 5081 and open the work session on House Bill 5081. Ms. Robin.
Hi. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you should have in front of you the dash one amendments to House Bill 5081. What those amendments do are all of the changes that would be made to the lottery bill that you passed last special session. It increases the amount that's being transferred to the state school fund by approximately $1.5 million. There will be an offsetting decrease in general fund to the state school fund. That reflects the change in the revenue sources.
Thank you, Robin. Any discussion?
Do we have a copy of that?
They're in the back of your packet. We've actually got them this time.
Thank you.
Any discussion, Representative Shetterly? Anything on your mind?
If you want a motion. Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendments to House Bill 5081.
Representative Shetterly has moved the dash one amendments into House Bill 5081. Any discussion? Representative Lee?
Thank you. I just want to indicate that I voted against this bill earlier, and I may do that on the floor, but I'm pleased to support it moving out of the committee.
Thank you, Representative. Any further discussion? Any objections to amending House Bill 5081 as indicated in the dash ones? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair?
We just amended it.
Yeah. I move House Bill 5081 as amended by the dash ones.
Representative Shetterly has moved House Bill 5081 as amended by the dash ones to the floor of the House of Representatives with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Carrier, who did we get to carry this last time?
It was either you or Representative Morgan.
It was Representative Morgan.
Representative Morgan, you're on tap.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, may I observe that you're not carrying one of these bills?
trust me, I think by the end of this...
You're saving up?
...sad sojourn that we will have done our...
Your oar will be in the water, too.
Yeah, my oar will be in the water. Let's have a informal we'll go into recess. We'll recess the committee for a... We'll just take a short break here. Is there anything else we need to do here?
Yes. 4033.